It's an early Shabbos, so just let's learn for a few minutes. There's four words the Torah says that I want to think about for a few minutes. After the beginning of the parasha, so all of us know this story that Esav sells his bechira. He's ayef, somehow his emunah is weakened, and he sees Avram Avinu, he sees his Zayda, the biggest tzaddik he had ever seen, the biggest tzaddik the world had seen. He sees his Zayda be nifter, he's ayef, his ruchnias thika madrega is weakened, he's tired, and he sells his bechira. And at the end of this whole parasha of him selling his ruchnias thika bechira for a bowl of soup, the Torah records at the end, Yaakov Avinu gives Esav the Nezir Adashim, he gives him the lentil soup. He eats, he drinks. And the Torah says four words at the end of the parasha, Vayivez Esav as a Bechira. Esav has disgraced the Bechira. I'm very interested. The Torah records, it told us an event. Any single person, Eliyahu, who reads this event, understands that Esav didn't value the Bechira. You know, I apologize, the sports analogy, if a player is traded for a player to be named later, everybody knows, like, that's like trading a guy for a bag of basketballs. You mean you shipped him out of town, you didn't like him. You don't have to record the team undervalued him. Obviously, go see. It's very, very obvious that he's traded for nothing. For a player to be named later means we just want you out and we don't even care who we get in return. Anybody reads the Pesukim in the Torah, he traded Bechira for a bowl of soup. What's the Torah like giving its observation, like stating the obvious? If you read the Pesukim, clearly there's no way of reading these Pesukim and not concluding that he's devalued Bechira. He clearly doesn't put much value. It's equal to a bowl of lentil soup. Why does the Torah have to end the parasha? It's a pay afterwards. That parasha's over. Like, pointing this out, all of us, anybody reads this parasha in the vernacular today, I catch myself, I'm around teenagers, and I spend our days around teenagers. So I end up speaking words that I hear a lot from the guys. And sometimes I think to myself, did you just say that? And I could picture like Bachram saying, you think? But even say something, you think it's he? No, like, no kidding. Yeah. He was Mevaza the Bechira, Harai. So, why is the Torah recording that? It saved the story and we all get it. But the Torah, and it ends the parasha. It's like it's a conclusion here. Vayivez Esav Bechira. I wanna get right to the. There's a pasuk that already Chazal applied to Esav. A pasuk in Mishlei, it's in Perek Yud Gimel. It's pasuk Yud Gimel. It's easy to remember. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says Yeroa Mitzvah Hu Yeshulam, that if you revere a mitzvah, you'll be Yeshulam. You'll become a shalim. The mitzvah will impact you if you respect the mitzvah. And the basic thing that I want to say is the Torah is recording that Esav relinquished the Bechira. It's even a funny conclusion. There's a ktsais on this. Did Esav lose the Bechira or not? Could you even sell the Bechira? Let's assume the Pashtus. He sold it. Was the sale, did the sale work, Maish? Could somebody sell the firstbornhood? You're not so into that. Maish is asked, like, what does that mean? What did you sell? You stole the firstborn. You're right. What did you sell? It's a good question. That's a very, very good question. That's a very good question. That's the question. Maisha has been grappling this week. Is there such a thing as selling your Olam Haba? What is it? Could you sell something that's... It's a very good question, Maisha. Here he sold... Maisha, here there was a sale of something spiritual, and it seems he sold it. What does it mean to sell? How do you make a Kenyan out of it, by the way? We know materialistic items, you kind of be Meshicha, be Hagbah. There's a method to be kind of. He sold the Bechira. It's a fascinating sale. There's a Ktsais on this. Davar Shaloi Baloilam, there are questions. Let's assume he really sold it. The conclusion, Vayivez Esav, shouldn't say he relinquished the Bechira? And Esav, and what I want to claim is the Torah saying, not like Moshe, he did relinquish it. Whoa. The end conclusion and the chiddush of the pasuk of Vayivas Esav v'sa b'chayra is Esav relinquished the b'chayra. And the chiddush, what do you mean, it says he sold it. The chiddush is not like Moshe Glazer, the sale is chal. And the Torah is recording, and that needs a chiddush. That's a chiddush. It's not a chiddush that he disgraced it. He sold it for a bowl of. If a guy sells Olam Haba for $4, it's not a chiddush that you've disgraced your Olam Haba. It's a chiddush that you've relinquished your Olam Haba. Maybe the sale's not chal. What I want to say, Yitzi, is Vayivez Esve HaBechayra, as the Torah's conclusion that he relinquished it. Now, what do you mean? It doesn't say he relinquished it, it says he was Mevazit. And I want to say that disrespecting something makes you lose it. That you lost your grip on it, you disrespect it. You have it as much as you respect it. When you respect it, so you have the thing, it's yours. When we say have, these are spiritual acquisitions, that you're profoundly connected to the thing. You're connected to it as much as you respect it. On mitzvahs, it says, how much do mitzvahs impact you? Only in proportion to how much you respect the mitzvah. That's the pasuk in Mishlei. Yeroa mitzvah hu yishulam. If somebody reveres a mitzvah, the mitzvah impacts him. Which said in English is, how much of the mitzvah do you have? How impact means the mitzvah, you and the menorah became one. I have watched guys in yeshiva for years. It's coming up at the end of the month. Chodesh Kislev, the mitzvah, beautiful mitzvah, menorah. You watch the guy who goes out, buys himself a menorah, you watch a guy who asks somebody else, could I light on the other end of your menorah? Now, he did know Avera, but he doesn't respect the mitzvah. He didn't spend money on the mitzvah. He didn't prepare for the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is very disconnected to him. The mitzvah impacts you in proportion to how much you respect it. Spiritual acquisitions. A physical acquisition, I pick it up. Spiritual acquisitions you acquire with respect. If the thing is respected by you, it's connected to you. You disrespect, it's not connected to you. The way to record on a spiritual acquisition that you relinquished it, you have disgraced it. That's the pirish of the relinquishing of it. Esav has been mevazit, so it's disconnected. He pushed it away. That's what it means in the spiritual realm. To relinquish something is to push it away. That's a very good question. Rav Ezi asked, so Esav doesn't have it. Who says it goes to Yaakov? Excellent question. I don't know the answer. But Esav relinquishing it is said in the Torah, Vayivez Esav Sabachayra. Esav being Mevazit, that is the Pirush that he relinquished it. That's what it is in the spiritual world. And the Torahs end up saying, it's not coming to say that that was disrespectful. I'm duh. It's saying he relinquished it. And that why the Torah needs to say he relinquished it is because yeah, Moshe, look good, he sold it. Is that work? Says the Torah, he did release it. The way to say releasing something in the spiritual realm is to disrespect it. That's kinyanim are, if you appreciate, when you do a mitzvah, how much of the mitzvah do you have? As much as you respect it. You respect it, you appreciate it, you value this, you have the mitzvah. In the world of Hasidus, the Messias Hasharim describes this, never to do a mitzvah b'pisaim. You never suddenly do a mitzvah. Doing a mitzvah suddenly, your relationship to the mitzvah is weak. You haven't shown hachana, preparation. By Hasidim, the hachana for a mitzvah is huge, is a sugya of preparing for the mitzvah. I remember once I was pressured with the Ner Chanukah. I'd come home with my kids from a journey. We ran in the house. Let's go! I was like, that's ridiculous. To do a mitzvah like that is so disrespectful and not, you can't do a mitzvah like that. Better, today you could light a little later. Better, let's wait. Let's sit down. We danced a little. Let's get in the mindset to do a mitzvah. You, in as much as you respect for davening, the Gemara in Shabbos, Hikon Likros Alekech Yisrael, there's an Indian to wear a special beged for davening. The guy's very approach to prayer, even in yeshiva, any minyan, don't like you find yourself the davening. So you just like turn around. It's not a yadavin, whether it means wash your hands for davening, whether it means put on a garment, whether it means wash your face, tuck in. get a minyan. This is my minyan. Don't find yourself like this. In the yeshiva, we have like three minchas. They're davening. Value what you're doing. Prepare for what you're doing. Get in the zone. Appreciate there's a covet to what you're doing. That's in the spiritual world, how much mincha will be attached to you. And how much we disrespect it, so it remains very separate. Reb Miller famously, a yid came to Reb Miller, and he was very, very sick. And he asked Reb Miller for a bracha. So Reb Miller asked him, what shul he daven? Does he daven in a quiet shul? So he said, no, people talk all around me. Reb Miller said that the tefillah in such a shul is not niskabel. He brought Chazal that the tefillah in such a shul is not, find a quiet shul and daven there. And the answer is, what's this chiddush that they talk by davening the tefillah? They had not a respect. It's not an environment of respect for the thing. So then we're not connected to the thing. In last week's Haftarah, we all know that David HaMelech, the end of his life, his garments didn't warm him. Even in the physical world, there's such a thing. David HaMelech's garments didn't warm him. And it says because he didn't respect Begadim. He cut Shaul HaMelech's beged at one point when Shaul HaMelech was looking for David HaMelech. And David wanted to show him. David was hiding in the cave. And he wanted to show Shaul HaMelech that if he wanted, he could have killed him. He was hoping that Shaul later on, when they were a safe distance apart, he said, Shaul, look at your beged. Shaul was looking in a cave for David. David was in a good hiding spot. He gave a little cut to Shaul's beged. From a safe distance, he said, look at your garment. You'll see it's cut. I could have killed you. And I didn't kill you, so no, I'm not a traitor, and stop chasing me. Says Chazal, since David HaMelech cut a beged, he shouldn't have done it that way. On some dakus, even though he was trying to save his life, he shouldn't have done it that way. And since he disrespected Begadim, so Begadim in his end of his life didn't warm him. They lost their kayach. He doesn't have Begadim. This is the mitzvah, that you disrespect something, you relinquish it. You relinquish, you let go of the thing. Begadim, which is the derech to warm, he was mevayished Begadim. He didn't give the proper respect, and it loses its kayach. This is... Either I don't know the answer to that. If Chazal are saying he did something wrong and should have done it a different way, or it's a mitzias.
Really?
Or there's a mitzias like that. Say the Chanami. You did what you needed to do, but when you mivayish something, you lose it. Yeah. I think this principle in all the activities of our life, equal to performing, it's even mivor in the Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel, the Gemara says that greater than Talmud Torah is Kavanat Torah. Bigger than learning is respecting Torah. A respect for Torah even takes precedent to learning Torah. This attitude to the activities of our life, when it comes to mitzvah, the menorah, when it comes to the menorah, it's such a mistake not to go out and buy a menorah, not to find a good one or make one or to get something, not to be mechin. You don't wait last minute. You don't have the mitzvah so much. You get your yaitzah. We're talking about the mitzvah impact and that the mitzvah and the person are bonded. And as much as you revere the mitzvah, as much as there's an appreciation, that's how much you have it. Esav's Pirish that he relinquishes b'chayrus vayivez esav b'chayrus. He has disgraced it, and as such, he's relinquished it. He doesn't have it. So that's the first thing I wanted to share. In the world of Chassidus, respecting a mitzvah was life. That's why they are beautiful. They're very makbid. The talis nizashayla. You see the atara is the silver atara. Now it's a shayla. Some people purposely. It says a hiddur mitzvah is a shlish b'mitzvah. So some people are makbe not to have atara. They're such akpada. By chassidim, there's a tremendous dagesh, tremendous emphasis on hiddur mitzvah. It's all part of the respect. Hachana for mitzvah by chassidim is huge. And hiddur mitzvah, doing the mitzvah in your style and your flair, both of those things. And it all comes from an attitude of chavivus ha-mitzvahs, of respecting and appreciating mitzvahs. It's interesting that on Rosh Hashanah, when we're starting our whole year, and we wanna throw off the satan, The Satan, who's master, who tries to prosecute us, the main way to throw off the Satan is Chavivas HaMitzvah. We blow twice the Shofar. We really only need 30 blows. We do 60. Tkiyas the Mu'umin and the Miyoshev. And it says that's Mevalvel, the Satan. It confuses him. The main battle against prosecutors, against us, is that we appreciate mitzvahs, is that we take them very seriously. And the fact that we do it twice and show that chavivos, that is an attachment. The Rambam brings five things that are noyel darkei atshuva, that block the pathway to tshuva. And amongst the Rambam five things, he says, is to laugh, to be loyeg ala mitzvahs, to laugh at mitzvahs. So a person is blocking the path. He said, "Bima yiska." The way a person gets close to Hashem is through mitzvahs. And if you're not serious about them, bima yiska, how are you going to get close to Hashem? Learning to take mitzvahs in a serious manner. The mitzvah menorah is coming. Study it. Learn about it. To take it in a very serious way. Studying about it's a big help. Preparing for it. Spending for it. All these different eitzes, and these in the world of chassidus. I don't mean chassidus people, though, are trying to. I mean the world of chassidus. Whenever we say chassidus, we mean the Messiah Sisharim's chassidus of lefnim mishur sadin, of getting what Hashem, not just the, you're not just keeping Yiddishkeit robotically, but you're attached to it. Chassidus means that you get it. You understand Yiddishkeit. From the Ikarim of Chassidus is to celebrate mitzvahs. Mitzvahs. I love in kosher world, so you go in there now, before each yomtiv, the mitzvah sachag, you start seeing it there. Right now, they already have out, already for a couple of weeks, all the Hanukkah stuff. And I like the chavivas ha-mitzvahs, that it's there in a Jewish store. All the Hanukkah goods are there already, right away, already well before. Now, you might not be the most yekesha, the yekesha person, the very responsible. Like in the mirror, I had a roommate. Mamish tried a roommate who was a masmid. If he's a Rebbe in the mirror today, was a crazy masmid. That type of masmid, sukkahs ben azman, and buys the oil for the menorah. There's a certain, he's organized, he's prepared and ready. Even if you're not that kind of fellow, like in kosher world, I don't know who was the one who like bought it 3 weeks ago, but I saw about 3 weeks ago the Hanukkah stuff came out. I gain a lot that it comes out. I can't buy it so early. It's just wouldn't be me. But I gain right away when it comes out. I like the chavivas ha-mitzvah, the mitzvahs here. I like in my own house, my wife brings up his table and sets up and designs and organizes already a week before Hanukkah. And I love when the table comes up. And things are happening for the mitzvah. It's a beautiful chavivas ha-mitzvah, because the mitzvah is precious. Our life revolves around this. Already weeks before Shalach Manas, things are out, things are on the table, ideas are bandied about. It's a chavivas ha-mitzvah, it's a precious mitzvah. And in the world of chassidus, it's probably equal the achana for the mitzvah as the asiyas ha-mitzvah. It's of equal importance, the preparation for the mitzvah, as the mitzvah itself. It's interesting, this same roommate, who's a masmid, a wild masmid, he would chart his hours of sleep two nights a week. I don't know what his cheshbainis were. There were nights he didn't sleep. Wild masmid, adei yom hazeh. Incredible, incredible masmid. He asked me, he at one point, I think went 3 months, he didn't leave the building of the mirror once. Not as a shtick. There was, where am I going? I think it was like 3 months. He never left the building once. Didn't go outside, get a breath of fresh air. It's a mass manifla. This guy asked me before Purim, could I arrange that he goes to my sister's house? He doesn't leave me. What do you want? I had a married sister. He wants to bake for the Shalach Manas. It's like taken aback. This guy baking, just the picture of him baking is foreign. But he wanted to get involved in the achanais for the mitzvah. The Gemara Kedushin describes all the greats preparing for Shabbos Kodesh. This nekuda, that the achana for the mitzvah is as chaviv, as precious as the mitzvah itself, is a very big idea in the world of chassidus. In the world where you want a mitzvah to be attached to you, everybody could perform the mitzvah, but the mitzvah attached. A bacher walked in here the other day, and he said, oh... He comes to me, he says, I forgot my tefillin in the dorm. He came to put on tefillin. I like, first of all, that he came to the base smash to put on his tefillin. A guy asked me, it's so unusual, Waterbury. He said, "Where I come from, you hide in your room, you're late, you put on..." I don't like that. I don't play that game. That's a disgrace for the mitzvah of tefillin. You put on your tefillin, get to the Beis Medrash. Come, make an asik of it. Make an event of it. You're putting on your tefillin. I like that guys come here. Guys come from the dorm. He's not... The guy is hiding behind his dorm, English, like nobody sees him. What? That's not the way to put on tefillin. That's not a cover to the mitzvah. It's not going to become attached to you. I like the guy brings his tefillin to the base. I appreciate it a lot. He comes and he proudly puts on his tefillin, his pair. So this guy came and he forgot it. He asked, "Could he take one of the tefillin here?" You're allowed a nichalei lemevin mitzvah v'mayne. You can assume that somebody would let you borrow that tefillin. You have to put it back exact and not damage anything. But there's cases, la halacha, you could assume, nichalei lemevet mitzvah v'mayne, that a person lets you do a mitzvah with their mammon, so long as there's zero damage. It's a shaila on svarim. It's a shaila, could you use the guy's gemara? He doesn't say anything in it. Could you use his gemara? That's a shaila on svarim. Do we say the normal rule, nichalei lemevet mitzvah v'mayne? People like that you use their thing for a mitzvah. Could you say that rule? What do you say on a sefer? It's very old to do damage. A guy like me uses the sefer, all of a sudden there's bent pages, so it's not so pushy. You did damage. That's a shaylon svarim. I think he... They say in the Rosh Hashiva from Ner Yisrael, we have to ask the Ringos. They say he was very, very makel on using people's gemaras. He didn't, if somebody wrote us, sir, they say he was, that's what they say on Rav Rudin. I have to find that. We have to, before we say Shepsak, Rav Ezi's Moicha on the Psaks. I have to find.
Ray's father felt that if you're allowed to use a sefer, because the meanies, they all write, "Don't you dare touch it, it's so mean." So if you didn't write that, it's like, that was your father's own.
If he didn't write it, then you see
that. Because that's it.
Any meanie would have written, "Don't touch." I hear. Usser, believe your shoes. I hear.
The meanies. Because the meanies is an umdana.
That's very good. My father said they do us all a favor. That's a good song. My father Tainas, without the meanies, so then you'd look at a safe. I don't know if I could use it or not. Since the mean people write Usser to use, so then if you don't write it, it's an umdana that he's not. I hear. Maybe. Lemaisa. So the guy came in to put on tefillin. He said, "Could I take a pair of tefillin?" And part of the mitzvah, the achana for the mitzvah, I told him, we such a good stance for tefillin. You go back to your room and get your tefillin. It's not easy, but you make a stance for tefillin. Equal to putting on the tefillin is the preparation and the achana, the fact that he went back, the fact. If there's a friend of mine who's a chassidus shiur, somebody the chaver here knows, he deeply is into chassidus. I saw him at a minyan. It's a ma'ase shayitz. I saw him at a minyan, and then he like walked out. We both came to a minyan. I saw, and he walked out. Yeah, right. How do you know that? So I asked, "What just happened? You came?" He drove. He came to. He just wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. He walked out, went to a different minyan. He wasn't ready. That's a chassid shiur. He wasn't ready. "I'm not ready. I'm not there." The Skolener used to daven very late. He felt like if he had any chesed that he owed a yid, he can't daven yet. He was embarrassed from Hashem. He was a tremendous baal chesed, involved in many chasadim. He felt like afraid to face Hashem, but he felt the achanais for davening were doing chasadim for yidden. The way I visualize what the Skolener Rebbe felt, Yitzi, is if you have an old friend who comes to your house for Shabbos with his kids, before you deal with your friend, Yo-Yo's going to come with a family in tow, before you two catch up, what's the first thing you're going to do? It's Pasha, we all do it. You make the kids comfy. You get them a lolly and some candy. They're new. They're like standing behind Yo-Yo. I've had this. David Siegel's a very close friend of mine. He comes to my house with his kids every few months. They pop into the house, Avi, before me and David just get busy schmoozing. You make sure the kids have candy. You make sure they're comfortable. They're like standing behind their father. And by the way, it's not like disrespectful to his father. It would be disrespectful to the father to ignore the kids. I just start talking to the tat and ignore the kids. That's disrespect. respect to the Tata. That was the Skalenas waited to daven. He first did all the chassadim he had to do. He held it. Hashem's going to be so mad at me. I leave the kids are sitting there. You're deep in schmoozing. The kids don't know what to do with themselves. That's not nice to dad. That's the Skalenar did, that he did chassadim. But he held it was all part of his hachana l'tfilah. All part of the preparation for davening. It's interesting. By chassidim, I love the visual. I love the visual of this with Homa Chassidish Yidden, who are basing a life trying to tap into Chassidus. I love the picture of a Chassidish Yid. He's coming like there's water dripping from his beard. He's gone to the mikveh. He has a towel and he's running with a coffee. I love it. The mitzvah is big by him, so the coffee is achana for the mitzvah. The towel is the mikveh, achana for the mitzvah. He's a visual of achana for mitzvah. The mitzvah is precious. He's a visual of a man. This man cares about davening. He's done so much for prayer. He's like getting... In shul, sometimes people run in with coffee cups. And I'll be honest. At first, I didn't have a positive view. It's coming, a coffee cup to shul. Now I love it. I happen to like it. Sometimes it gets catchy. And people see, I guess, the next guy with the coffee cups. People walk in almost like it's a... entrance, it's like a right to get in, you have your coffee cup. Mm-hmm. I started liking it a lot. Yet not preparing for davening. They're taking some caffeine. They want to be more awake, want to be more focused. I see it as the chassidish towel. I see the guy holding his... I see achana. I see preparation. Davening serious by me. I have my coffee for davening. I'm ready to go. So that picture for all of us, for all our mitzvahs, to be meichen properly, specifically by davening, where it says, Hikon likras elikech Yisrael, where the Torah and Chazal speak about a person preparing for prayer, whether it means washing your hands, whether it means tucking in, wearing a special beged for the prayers, but it's not something that a person just does b'pisim, because we want David HaMelech zani tefila. He becomes attached to prayer. Our attachment to ruchnius is kefi v'achana for it. So that's the first thing I wanted to share. I want to do a song in between Shlaima, just not to go right in. Let's do the Yalla V'Yavi song. You mask him?
Yeah.
Avez, you want to start?
Is a very
I want to end with a question that I want, if somebody here can give an answer, Shlomo, I have a kasha that I don't know the answer to, but I'd like to set up the question, Shlomo. Elio, if you have an answer to this, I owe you a lot. So I want to ask the following kasha. To set up the kasha, all of us know Avram Avinu, who's the Av HaChesed, Avram Avinu, who's the Av who taught the world the kindness of Hashem, is tested to do something the opposite of kindness. And he's tested to do achzarius, to do the akedas Yitzchak, to shecht Yitzchak. That's what Avraham Avinu is tested. Yaakov Avinu is emes, the mid of emes liyakov. And one of the great tests of his life is to be mechabit his mother and to do a sheker. Esav says, Yaakveni zepamayim, you've tricked me these two times. He steals the b'chayri, he dresses up. One of the great nisyanis of his life was to listen to his mother's tzivui, to do the opposite. Everything about Yaakov was emes. Rev Aaron Cutler once said, it's a story, but he once said a line. Really?
Let's oh, wow. Go!
Good, Nachum. Nachum knows. You knew from Rev Ezi? 60th yard say, very good.
He told me.
And
why? Is there a special platform that people could...
Yartzayomi.org. Excellent. Yartzayomi.org. Everybody, of course,
not
sign up.
Wolf Apparel. Working out a
lot. Really? My pair? Really? I want if I can get a hold of that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Yartzay. So, Rav Aaron famously said, "Ich find sheker, I hate sheker." Famous quote from Rav Aaron, "Ich find sheker, I hate sheker." Here, Yaakov Avinu's midas emes, and he's asked to do the opposite of emes. He's asked to lie and to trick. That was Yaakov Avinu's challenge. And both things are obvious, that the way to be kind of amida is that you could do the opposite. If a guy always says yes and can't say no, you don't own your yes. We spoke about being mechabit something as a way to be kind of something. You're kind of an amida when you could do both ways. People, it's funny, when you say to be a balanced person, what does it mean to be a balanced person? It means to be kind of both sides. Balanced means you have to have two acquisitions. It doesn't mean you have each one halfway. Balance means, let's say a person's balanced, that they're very disciplined and very flexible. It means you have a perfect kinyan and flexibility. Balance is the hardest thing. It means you own two things. It means you own flexibility, that you're capable of being 100% flexible and you own it. And it means you own rigidity and you're able 100% to be organized and structured. balance is when you own both. You could then say, hey, I have two tools in my bag. What tool should I pull out? Because I have both tools. Hey, should I use flexibility now? Well, it has to be, in order for Avraham Avinu to be kind of the midah of chesed, it has to be, he's capable not to be a Baal chesed, so then he owns chesed, because he decided to be a Baal chesed. He has the tool completely. If he has to do it, he doesn't own it at all. It owns him. He doesn't own it. It's a tool in your bag. The guy who's rigid, Mo, who can't be flexible, doesn't own rigidity. He's not structured. Structure owns him. He doesn't own structure. The guy who can't be flexible is not a kinyan on rigidity. You know what I mean? You're kinyan, so it's not an obvious thing. Avraham Avinu able to do the opposite is what says that he's kind of chesed. If you say yes, 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 and can't say no, you don't own your yes. Yes owns you. If you could say no, so then your yes is a decision. So Avraham Avinu, who owns chesed, is capable of not doing chesed, da'akeda. Yaakov Avinu, who owns emes, is capable of not doing emes, and then he owns. So it means it's a tool that he owns, and when it's the right thing, he uses that tool. So that's simple shot. My kasha, I'm setting up the following kasha. I'm going to tell you, Elio, I want to tell you a quote from a great American thinker. And then I have a kasha on the Rashi that I don't know pshat. I want to discuss it with the chevra. The quote from the American thinker is, he says, listen to this quote, Elio. It's one of my favorite quotes, Mo. I want you to memorize this quote. And this American thinker said, I wouldn't give a fig for simplicity on this side of complexity, but I'd give my life for simplicity on the other side of complexity. One more time. Aryeh, one more time. Yosef, you got the quote? One more time. I wouldn't give a fig for simplicity on this side of complexity, but I'd give my life for simplicity on the other side of complexity.
We all say it together.
What's simplicity?
Everybody together.
What's simplicity?
Simple. Yisrael, you ever heard that quote? One more time, I'm going to explain it. One more time, Yisrael. I wouldn't give a fig for simplicity on this side of complexity, but I'd give my life for simplicity on the other side of complexity. What does he mean? What does he mean, Yisrael? He means that there's two types of simple people. There's a guy who's simple because he's stupid. He doesn't know better. It's like a naive guy. And he's like so positive. He doesn't know the world. And then there's a guy who knows, he's brilliant and chooses simplicity. This American thinker said, if you're simple because you're too dumb to be complex, I wouldn't give anything for that type of simplicity. But on the other side of complexity, you know and you're aware and you choose simplicity, I'd give my life for that. That's simplicity on the other side of complexity. You know and aware and you chose and you acquired simplicity, I'd give my life for that. When we say Yaakov Avinu is an ish tam, which means he's honest, he knows and is smart, it's a decision, to be honest. It's simplicity on the other side of complexity. It's not Yaakov's not smart enough, doesn't know. He knows. It's a choice of some. Is that, that's what I'm describing. There's two types of nice people. A guy who's nice, that's the way his nature. I'm not impressed. That's simplicity on this side of complexity. I wouldn't give a fig for that. Yeah, you just can't say no. That's your tchuna. That's your nature. No, no.
Did this guy like figs? You know what I mean? It throws me off a little bit. I don't know what I would give for that fig.
Yeah, unique way of saying it, for sure.
It's like the complex side of the
The kitzer is that when we say Yaakov Avinu, and that's the whole Yisai that we see Yaakov's Nisai of his life, he was able to trick. Because the reason he didn't trick wasn't lack of capacity, wasn't not smart enough, wasn't he didn't chap. It was a decision to do it. He owned what he had. It wasn't the person who couldn't. He could say no, and he's nice. That's a kinyan in something. That's simplicity on the other side of complexity. Now, why am I so good? That's that. All this is pashut. The problem is a Rashi that I don't have pshat in. I want to ask everybody here. I don't have pshat in this Rashi. If somebody opens my eyes this Rashi, I'd be very appreciative, Elio. So Rashi on the parsha, I can't figure out, Yosef. It says it contrasts Esav and Yaakov Avinu. And the psukim say that Esav's Yodei Atzayid Behib. Esav is the beginning of the parasha. Esav ish Yodei Atzayid. It's a man who knows how to lie. Rashi says that Yodei Atzayid is L'Ramais Esav Behib, to lie to his father with his mouth. And Yaakov Avinu is an ish tam. Listen to Rashi's words, ish tam. Kimash, he says, ish tam. Einai baki b'chaleila. He's not proficient at all of this. Ela kilibai came piv. Like his heart is his mouth. Congruent. His heart and mouth, no tricks. Then Rashi says, this I don't know pshat. Mishe einai charif l'ramais kari tam. A tam is somebody who's not sharp. I'll translate Rashi. Einai charif is not sharp. L'ramais, to trick, is called a tam. Einai charif is not sharp. Charif means charifus, sharpness. He's not sharp to trick. That's called a tam. And Yaakov's an ish tam. So what's Yaakov? He's einai charif. He's not sharp. L'ramais, to trick. Why would you say he's not sharp? I thought it's simplicity on the other side. He knows how to do it. Check later in the parasha. He's charif. It's a decision. So what is it? A
that's
time.
What you wouldn't give a thing for, right?
Yeah. What?
He's not sharp with his words because his father made him come and feel him.
That's for sure true. See, here the charifus, I don't mean like saying mean things. It's funny. Shmuel's completely correct. One of the way Yaakov Avinu thought was suspicious that it wasn't Yitzchak is because he spoke softly. No, please. And Esav didn't talk to him. Here I mean intelligent and sharpness of mind. And it says about Yaakov that his einoich otam is einoich charif l'ramais, is called a tam. But I thought... His is not, that's the simplicity on this side of complexity, just not so sharp. You know the guy who, like, you're just not capable of fooling anybody. That's what it sounds like. I'm reading Rashi. A tam is somebody who's not charif l'ramais. Now you could say, and I don't want to force a pshat, I don't know an answer. I'm not sure, Akiva. It strikes me, that's not how I would describe, ain't I charif? What are you tying, Kiva?
In the chronology of the parsha, can you say that Yaakov started as a tam, and as he became older, he became more complex, and he was kona the mida through the stories that the Torah tells. I think Rabbi's whole vart is before he had.
So this
those
was his
instances. Truna.
So it's funny to tell me his truna. His truna is like so what? His truna was the simple one, unless. See, Yitzi's tining Akiva, and it could be Akiva's right. This was his truna, was this. He was later kainin, and he was kainin when he did opposite. Akiva's saying, Hagufa, that's the story. He was kainin when he did opposite. Yitzi's saying, and I don't know who's right. I don't know. Yitzi's saying that a tam is that. An ish tam is a person who chose to be that. A tam,
woo!
That's what Yitzi's saying.
Ooh.
Yitzi Mendel said a tam...
Wow.
A tam is a guy who's einoi charif l'ramais. Now he's an ish tam. He's not a tam. He's an ish tam. He's a guy who chose that team. So a tam is that. He's an ish tam, chose to be that. If you choose to be, it's just so funny to me because if that's what a tam, you can never choose to be that. You're not that.
Huh?
I'm troubled by this, Elio. You can't force Torah. And you don't like put your things in Torah. The Torah puts things in your brain. What's Rashi telling me? He's a tam. He's einoi charif. He's not. Doesn't have such a sharpness to trick people. And that's what Yaakov is. Whoa! I don't know if I want that.
Why is it using that?
Like, the charifus. What's this like charifus?
Like, is it the way that he would trick? Like he doesn't trick
in that sort of way. He could use his honesty to write or something like that.
It's funny. What's his? Shlomo's like being medactic, very correct. Eino charef, like he's not so sharp. Shlomo's eino yachal uramais. What's this? He's not sharp. He doesn't have charifus. Strange rash. Charifus means like in the vernacular, yo, when you say somebody's very charif, he says tremendous charifus. Means he's brilliant. There is an expression, it's true. He's coming from Eretz Yisrael. I say, it's a charif. When you go to a store, you want it spicy. Yeah, it means sharp. It's the same word. But when we say charifus in terms of intelligence, we mean very sharp person. Now, Esav's a charif, and he uses this wild intellect to be meramed people. And when it describes Yaakov, he's einoi charif. That's what it says, a tam. Mi she'einoi charif l'rama is kari tam. The Kohen may be right. The Kohen may be right. That's what a tam is. That you call somebody an ish tam means he chose that. And that's, there could be somebody who's that way naturally. Yitaki shouldn't be impressed with a tam. A tam is just very not smart. He's like dim-witted. The ish tam says, that's what I want. Chooses that. I have all the ideas. Now, Akiva points out, it could be his tchuna was a tam, and that's the story of the parish of him acquiring.
Also, what
you might, you both might be right.
By charef. Maybe it means like to manipulate people. That he doesn't manipulate people. He's definitely very intelligent.
It's interesting. It's interesting. So I'm going to tell you, Revolba. You forced my hand. You and Shlomo forced my hand. So I'm going to share Revolba with you. Okay. I'm going to share Revolba. It is getting late, but I'll share Revolba, and then maybe we can understand it. What this means. The Rashi bothers me. I want to say, I'm going to tell you Revolba, then I got to fly. I got to get home and come back. I want to tell you what Revolba said. I want to admit, because I don't want to pretend that I'm still struggling with the Rashi, even after Revolba. So I don't want you to throw, we have the teretz. What are you making a hack for? I don't have a teretz. I ask over Shabbos, somebody want this Rashi's intra. Is that really even admirable? I don't know. That's like the simple guy who's just so stupid. Like, I'm not so impressed. Like, there's a naiveness that I'm not impressed with. I love people who are willfully naive. You can see it to people. You see a guy who's naive and like he's positive on everybody. He's like, oh, everybody's wonderful. You just don't chap how messed up everybody is. I like the guy who chaps how messed up and thinks everybody's wonderful. Like you chap, you're not stupid. You chap the mats if you think people are wonderful. Everybody has seen both. One is an immaturity, it's just the guy who's clueless. And one is a guy who gets it and sees more. It's interesting, when they went to the cave, when Shimon Gamliel went to the cave, Shimon went to the cave, and at first, like, they came out after 12 years seeing bad and people, they went back to the cave, and then they see good. Deeper yet, I want the after the cave, not before the cave. And all of us know this is true. There's two guys who try to comfort their wife one day. She's nervous. Guys, everything's wonderful. You're just being stupid. You're not in touch with what is. By the way, to comfort somebody, you're supposed to first validate. It's not a trick to first validate. If you don't know how bad a guy complains about his life, you start answering him from. Nobody listens to that. That's stupid. It's so stupid because you understand how bad my life is. It's not telling her, well, you see, a guy asks you, I'm so mad at Hashem. It's like you put your arm around him and you start explaining. You're foolish. You're foolish. Your simplicity on this side, I wouldn't give a fig for that. I remember Hashem is great. You're not hearing something. Do you hear a kasha? It's a guy who gives an answer and doesn't know the kasha. It's garnished. It's garnish mit garnish. We like the other side. I get it. The matzah's horrible. Now let's have some faith. The other side, let's get it. Let's be there. So what's this einoi charef? Revolba says, it's like Shlomo zoned in on the word charifus. Shlomo's intelligent when you had antennas. What's einoi charef? Einoi yachal aramas, einoi charef. And Yitzi pointed out, Revolba said that a liar, it has two stages. Liars, Yisrael, there's an amazing Revolba. Liar's step one is to lie to yourself. I can't lie to you, Gishmak, till I trick myself. So step one of a liar is he has to lie to himself.
The first step?
Yeah. Because I can't lie to you till I lie to myself. Good liars lie to themselves. So says Rav Volba, Charifus is tapping into like this place, maybe dimian imagination, or this place in our brain that you're coming up with like big shtekluch. Yaakov Avinu grabs the truth. He's not capable to go, I'm sorry, I just see the truth here. He's taken not yachol. He said when you hold on to emes, if you let go of emes, you can enter a world of charifus and say this and prove this and come up with it. Because you're just not, if you haven't met Rav Aaron David, when I think of him, this vert and Rav Aaron David's like the same, he's the person behind the vert. If you grab emes, there's no room for, like, you ever try to tell him like from a cheshbainus, like it's not stops. I don't know how to do what you're doing. I can't. I'm holding on to the MS. I can't. When we let go of the MS, he says that he's enoy charif l'ramos. He can't enter charifus because he's holding on to MS. So, and that could be a decision to hold on to MS, by the way. But ain't, that's what he says. I don't want to just say it. Yeah. Rav Volba said it. He has a sefer on Chumash. I bought a sefer on the whole sefer Bereishis.
Oh, he said it on this.
Yeah, he says it on this Rashi. Yeah, in a charef. Yeah, lo yodea. I don't know. It doesn't even this. It doesn't. The Rashi. I'm very troubled by this Rashi, to be honest, because it bothers me because I never would want to be this. He's not sharp to trick people. I'd want to be sharp to trick people and then choose not to trick them.
Would a healthy
Asa
be someone to trick someone?
Yeah, a healthy Asa would have such a yuchai. Listen, Yaakov Avinu tricked when it was not. We know the guy, the frumma who can trick is not honest. He's just, I don't know what he is. If you're like incapable, that's not. So what is Rashi saying? I don't know. Akiva and Yitzi both are the same team, really. Akiva is saying Enechanami. That's not the praise yet. That's a tchuna. And Enechanami becomes. Yitzi says maybe even in the words Ishtam. I don't.
Praise is only relevant because we know he started as an Ishtam. We had the Torah needed to tell us his original tchuna. Because if you didn't know, he started as an Ishtam in the unsophisticated way. So when he becomes a sophisticated Ishtam, so then it has no chashiva. So the Torah tells the stories later. I think you still do need
I like it. You might be right. You might be right. I don't know. This Rashi is wild because shucks. When I read the Rashi, I'm like, oh, you didn't know how. I'm like, I thought it was a mailot. So that's Ishtam. Then Rashi says, he's not Charif L'Ramas. I'm like, oh. I was getting excited about Yaakov. When you meet somebody who's honest, you just find out he's very dim-witted. And like, it's like a literalist, and there's something funny about that. No, I wasn't trying to knock. I just mean if a guy couldn't.
I took you literally.
You know what I mean, Ramezi? Does this Rashi bother you, Ramezi?
Yes.
It bothers me a lot. Like, took away. Ain't no charif l'rabbis. Shucks. I feel the guys drove in for Shabbos and here they come Erev Shabbos. The problem with Rashi. I don't know. We have to harbor Rashi saying something. It's important not to, you don't want to shtup and ants like you're defending. Let Rashi teach. Don't defend him. So I want to, what's Rashi telling me? He can argue on any American writer he wants. I'd pick Rashi 10 out of 10. So I couldn't care less for Rashi writing. I'm not letting go of my Hanach and then you want to learn Rashi. That's not a good idea. So let go of your Hanach, but I don't know what he means. Yeah, maybe it's a different way of looking at it. Rav Volba was saying that there's a place of Charifus that when you're honest, you can't even go there. You can't tap there. It's not relevant. The guy's like clearing and saying, there's a simplicity of truth that you hold on to, that you don't enter into that. That's Rav Volba said. He's Ein Echara Floramis. He holds on to Emes. And you know, all Charifus is all sharpness is only when you let go of honesty. There's room to be smart and sharp and cunning. So Rav Volba says such a verse, you hold on to emes, you knock out a whole world of svar of like.
When Yaakov tricked
Esav,
that was
L'Ramas? Sure.
It was
L'Ramas? Sure. Sure, that's what he did. Akveni Zepamai, Esav called him out.
Rashi's on Ishtam. Ishtam.
Yeah, Ishtam. If somebody has a pshat over Shabbos, I'd love this, but not forced. And you can't like, well, the American writers come from Rashi, so let's slug up Walt Whitman, whoever said, I don't care, it doesn't matter. Rashi comes way before, so I just don't know, because that seemed like the Pashto, so maybe I have to be mitaher my mind, and then we can learn. I don't know what Rashi's saying, Ein Echarif, L'Ramis Abbas, I don't know. Yashikar Chavaisai, Mincha's going to be, what time is